Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Father Joe, as Father Pete said. I'm very excited and happy to be here as your associate pastor. Harmony appears as an important element in today's readings and responsorial psalm. Now, harmony is defined as the combination of simultaneously sounded musical notes to produce chords and chord progressions having a pleasing effect. It's also defined as an arrangement of the four Gospels or of any paralleled narratives, which presents a single continuous narrative text. In our second reading, we encounter a logic which naturally includes harmony in it. One, we die with Christ to now live with him. Two, Christ died to sin once and for all, and now has life for God. Since both of these hold, we must consider ourselves also dead to sin and as living for God in Christ. The harmony of faith and works underlies this message from St. Paul. St. Paul brings to mind both the speculative and the practical. He brings to mind what we think and how we act. These two are meant to be in harmony with each other. The responsorial psalm likewise indicates the importance of harmony. The psalmist says, "Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord." And so the psalmist isn't just indicating that God's goodness is to be spoken about, but that God's goodness is meant to be sung. And so the psalmist isn't just, through singing, the truth of God's goodness is united with the beauty of harmony, which comes to us through song. God, as the psalmist says, is the splendor of our strength. And so the psalmist sings of God's goodness because the beauty of harmony, which comes through singing, that harmony better shows forth the splendor of God's faithfulness. It's the principle of like speaks to like. The handing over of the knowledge of God's splendid faithfulness is more effectively accomplished when it's done in a splendid and a beautiful way. Like speaks to like. To consider the psalmist from a different perspective, what the psalmist is doing is essentially participating in what is being spoken about. By handing on what is of most importance for the mind, for what we think. Keep in mind St. Paul's writing where he indicates the harmony that should exist between what we think and how we act. Thus, the psalmist, by acting, by singing of God's faithfulness, is better handing over to others what the psalmist himself thinks. And thus, the psalmist becomes interiorly in harmony in his thoughts and in his actions. So we too are called to be like the psalmist, to hand over what we ourselves know. The faith we've been freely given is something that we're meant to freely give to others. There's no secret knowledge meant for a select few found here. All are meant to know of God's faithfulness and to act accordingly by evangelizing to others like the psalmist. This is that harmony between thought and action that St. Paul hints at. To take another approach, what makes music beautiful but harmony? The right ordering, the right combination of simultaneously sounded musical notes. These come together and are received by the listener, and the listener thereby finds them to be pleasing. Again, like speaks to like. Right ordering is called beautiful. We find our Lord speaking in today's gospel about our need to be rightly ordered, to be harmonious. Whoever loves father or mother more than him is not worthy of him. But why? Why are we not worthy of him if we love others more than him? Again, this comes down to being rightly ordered. We must be in harmony with God. God is beauty. He is the splendor of our strength. God is beauty. He is harmonious. We are called to be beautiful like God, and we become more beautiful when we become more rightly ordered. We become more beautiful the more our thinking and our acting are aligned in harmony with the teachings of Christ. This harmony begins and ends with loving God above all things. It begins and ends with making the love of God above all things more and more of a reality in our minds and in our actions as we continue on our journey.